Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace in Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise be the Lord. Well, welcome to another episode of the Sounds of Living Water. You are in first day edition, the beginning of the week, with the Fellowship of the Spirit with our brother Paul Mazaluski. We ask him. And also reading for him is Jeremy. The brother Jeremy. And the precept today is the judgment. Judgment, man's and God. Judgment, man's and God. Matthew 7. Judge not that ye be not judged, for with what judgment ye judge, and ye shall be judged with all measure ye meet. It shall be measured unto you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own? Or how would thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye? Behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam that is in thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Well, this sounds like it's going to be a doozy. So without further ado, we're going to turn this over to our brother Paul. Grace and peace, Israelite. Shalom, shalom. Grace and peace,
grace
brother
Jim. Grace and peace. Always want to say happy Sabbath. Happy first day of the week, everybody.
Say it. Happy Sabbath.
Happy first day of the week. Happy Sabbath. Shabbat shalom. Hey, this weekend we are so filled. Our cup is just flowing over. Praise be to God for the Sound of Living Waters this weekend. We have had some spirited dialogue, some off-the-chain lessons, and some really great fellowship. The only thing missing from this weekend was all of us in the same room. And at the appointed time, we'll deal with that.
Amen.
Before we get too farther along, sisters and brothers, I don't want to make it long and drawn out lesson. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, great God of Israel, we come before you once again, and we thank you for all your blessings, Lord, for this opportunity to gather. Father, we ask that you keep your continual hedge about us, and that as always, Lord, you open our eyes, open our ears, and give us what we seek, wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. For these and all your blessings, we thank you in Jesus' name. To all who hear my voice and agree, in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, sisters and brothers, we're going to jump right into this. Judgment, man's and God's. sisters and brothers, too many people, we hear it all the time. You can't judge me. Why are you judging me? The Lord says not to judge, and all this other, we've heard it. There's probably sayings out there that we haven't heard. And then we all know of places, unfortunately, where when you walk in through the door, there's so much swept under the rug that you're climbing a mountain to get into the class. Sisters and brothers, judgment, proper judgment, is given to us as saints so that we can govern the congregations, the individual congregations. We can govern our walks as individuals that come together as the body of Christ. And what we're going to do today is I'm going to be brief as always. I'm going to try to keep it under an hour. We're going to let you see what the Lord says about judgment, about both man's judgment and God's judgment, because man's judgment should be patterned after God's. So we're going to start this off in Matthew, the 7th chapter. As always, any questions or comments, if you don't have any after the lesson, you can reach me at fotspm@gmail.com, 708-418-8811 is my number. That's fotspm@gmail.com or 708-418-8811, Fellowship of the Spirit. We're going to start this off in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7. And my brother, you want to start this lesson off in verse 1? Matthew 7. And we'll kick this off in verse 1. Go ahead, brother.
Judge not that ye be not judged.
The Lord says, wait a minute, brother Paul, you must be nuts. You're a false prophet. Time to hang up on you. Everybody go home. You just got done saying that we were given the ability to judge, but the Lord, the Messiah, our master is saying, judge not that you be not judged. Well, let's not just end it on one sentence. Let's really dig in and see what the Lord's got to say about judgment, both ours and his. Go ahead and continue, brother.
For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged.
See, it's not that we shouldn't judge, but it's with the judgment that we use, the same is going to be used on us. Just like with the way we forgive others is the way the Father is going to forgive us. The way we treat others is the way the Lord is going to hold us accountable. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Not with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you again.
So with the judgment that you use or the way you judge, it shall be measured unto you. Go ahead, brothers.
And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye?
Hold on a second, man. Let me get this sliver out your eye, but let me get this oak tree away from you, though, man. Let me turn my head so that oak tree's not in the way, so I can reach out and get that little sliver that's in your eye. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye?
Yes, sir. What are they, brother? Go ahead.
Now,
Hypocrite! You say you stand for something, but your actions show something different. Go ahead and continue, brother.
First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote that is in thy brother's eye.
So, sisters and brothers, just in case Sister Radia, when you came online today, forgot to give you that mirror, let me hand the mirrors out, because we're going to need these mirrors in this lesson. Because we're going to put that mirror up. The first judgment that the Lord says needs to be done is we need to judge ourselves. We need to get down with ourselves first. And we're going to see as we go along what it is that we're used as a standard. Let's go to Matthew, the 23rd chapter. Go ahead a few chapters. Matthew 23. And brother, let's pick it up at verse 23. Matthew 23 and verse 23. Go ahead.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites.
Hypocrites, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. We're going to see what the Lord is saying here. We're going to see that we know some scribes and Pharisees according to what the Lord is laying out. We know some of these today, and we're striving not to be like them. We're striving to be Christ-like. And I'm not pointing any fingers. We're putting facts on the table. But remember, we're using that mirror to look at ourselves first. Go ahead, brother.
For ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone.
Yeah, there are tithes that have to be paid, and there are certain ordinances or rituals that must be done. But the weightier matters of the law is what the Lord says we need to be dealing with, that judgment and that mercy and that faith. And we should have done those first, not just the other ones. The other ones are important too, the pain of tithes and all that. That's important too. But it's the weightier matters of the law that we're judged by, sisters and brothers. That other stuff is easy stuff to do. But it's the stuff where you're a law unto yourself in the secret places, not out in the open where everybody can see. Go ahead and continue, brother.
For you make plain the outside of, verse 24.
Yes, sir.
You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel.
You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You're over here dealing with the little things, and you're making a big thing out of some little stuff in the Word, paying tithes. Oh, it's not for anybody to pay tithes. It was just for the priest. It was just agricultural. It's got nothing to do with today. You're over here, and you're dealing with all these things that in the whole of the matter really doesn't mean anything, because what really means the most is the way we treat each other. These little gray areas, like we dealt with a lot of gray area the past 2 days. And praise God, I didn't hear one time anybody getting out of pocket. Because we were dealing with the weightier matters of the law when we were dealing with them gray areas and how we treat each other with respect, with meekness and humility. Yeah, the voices get a little bit raised and we get a little bit animated at times. But we don't fall out over it. We don't fall out and lose the right hand of fellowship and start pointing fingers, you're leading your congregation down the road to hell, like I've heard in other areas before. We don't fall out over stuff like that because we're dealing with the weightier matters of the law. Go ahead and continue.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrite, for you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess.
And there is plenty of sisters and brothers out there that this is describing. Our goal is to keep that mirror in front of us so it doesn't describe us in this fashion. So we're not hypocrites. We're the inside of the cup. The secret places are filthy, and the only thing we got is all that show in front of the brethren. Go ahead, brother.
No, blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also.
Where does it all start at, sisters and brothers? It starts in the inside, in your heart. And as you have in your heart, that's what your actions are going to dictate. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Well, once you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed are beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
Even so, also outwardly you appear righteous unto men. But there's only one that sees through to the heart, that really knows the intent of the heart. And that's our Messiah and our Heavenly Father, our God. He's the only one that can see through to the intent of the heart. But righteous judgment, will also show you the intent of the heart. But it's got to be righteous judgment. But let's not get too far ahead. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11 and one verse, brother. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 28. Go ahead.
But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup.
Let a man first examine himself. Yes, this is talking about the Passover. But sisters and brothers, we're supposed to be examining ourselves every day. Every night when you hit the pillow at night, you should have already, if you can get on your knees, if you're comfortable in a chair or even laying down, you should be looking back at your day, seeing where you fell short, bringing it to our Heavenly Father through our intercessor, our Messiah Christ Jesus. Father, forgive me for where I fell short. Help me to make amends if I hurt somebody. Make it quickly if I've hurt somebody or caused some wrong. And Father, help me and guide me and lead me. Give me the corrective measures that I need to quit falling short in this area. That should be the zest of your prayers at night. You're looking back at where you fell short, where you've hurt people. Do you need to make amends? Are you walking straight? Are there areas that you fell short during the day you need to concentrate and make better? And then in the morning, you should be always asking for guidance through the day to lead you and to guide you and to help you make it through the day. And then all day long, we should always be in prayer, constantly, always looking at ourselves, always being sober and vigilant, checking our actions. Because every single thing that we do and say, we're striving to do it with the thought in mind, is this pleasing to my God? So we're constantly looking at ourselves. Yes, this is talking about the Passover, but we're constantly examining ourselves. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. 2 Corinthians 13. We're going to read one verse, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, brother, and verse 5. Go ahead.
Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith.
Examine yourselves whether you be walking in your faith. The faith that you have been given by the Bible. You're sitting in a class and you've been taught how to rightly divide and discern. Now you're in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is leading you. Are you in that faith? Examine yourselves. Whether you be walking according to the faith or are you going off the path to the left or the right. Go ahead, brother.
Know ye not your own selves? Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobate?
Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you? You know whether or not you're walking according to God. You know exactly where you're falling short, because that little law written in your heart and in your mind is called the conscience. That's why when you look across the yard, you see a wallet sitting on the table. If you feel like taking it, you don't walk over there in the middle of the day. You hope it's going to be there at night when you can turn the light out, poke the light out, crawl over there, sneak over there and grab it. Because you got this conscience that says, thou shalt not steal. But we're supposed to always be examining ourselves, whether or not Christ is in you. We're supposed to clean ourselves up first with that righteous judgment. Let's go to Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke 12, and brother, let's pick this up at verse 43. Luke 12 and verse 43. When you get there, go ahead and read.
Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
So Jesus always spoke in parables, and he's given a parable now about faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season. And he says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing what was told for him to do, what that servant is supposed to be doing. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 44. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath.
He comes and he finds him being obedient. He's going to make him a ruler. Go ahead, brother.
And if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maidens, and to eat and drink, and to be drunken.
In other words, is being disobedient. Go ahead.
And that servant which knew his
verse
Lord,
46.
The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers.
With the unbelievers and with the wicked, with the lawless. This is a parable. The Lord always spoke in parables. And what he's saying is he's talking about his return. You know what you need to do. So get about the Lord's business. Get about the Lord's business and do it. Don't let him come back and find you slothful. And then again, sisters and brothers, when is his return? For each and every one of us, his return could be tonight when you don't wake up in the morning. Your portion under the sun is over, and there's no more chance for reward. Did you die righteously in Christ Jesus? His return for all of us could be right now. Our last thoughts in our hearts should always be about him before we go to sleep. I fall asleep praying to my God. And if I don't fall asleep praying to my God, my day just don't wake up right. I go to sleep praying about him, praying to him, thinking about him, asking him for forgiveness and guidance. And you know what? When I wake up in the morning, the first thing I think about is him. And I praise him and thank him for getting up. Tell us where you're at. Continue, brother.
Verse 47.
Yes, sir.
And that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes.
See what this is saying? The servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Many stripes, because you knew better. Go ahead, brother.
But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask more.
That's why the Lord said to think well before you go in that water and get baptized. That's why nobody that I know that is trying to make it into the kingdom of heaven will baptize anybody without them having understanding of how they're supposed to walk. Because to whom much is given, much is required. With knowledge, sisters and brothers, comes responsibility. So the Lord says, you've got this knowledge, my sons and my daughters. Clean yourself up. You know what you're supposed to do. You got a standard. My word, I've given it to you. The first judgment you need to do is on yourself. Get that beam out of your eye. Get that beam out of your eye. Get it away from you. Before you even start looking at trying to help others, you can't be of help to others if you're not straight. Let's continue. Let's go to Galatians, the fifth chapter. How do we clean ourselves up, sisters and brothers? Galatians 5. We know it's by washing of water by the word, but the way we clean ourselves up takes action. Galatians 5. Galatians 5 and verse 14, brother, go ahead.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
That's how you clean yourself up right there, sisters and brothers. We know it's by the renewing of the mind and washing of water by the word. We should always be in this book anyway. But we do it by loving our neighbor as ourselves, by our action. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another.
Go ahead.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Of course, you got to have that in your heart. You got to have that right spirit in your heart. Skip to 25 and continue, brother.
If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit.
And we live in the Spirit. We're digging into the Word of God. We're keeping the Sabbath day and the feast days and all that. But if we're going to walk, if we're going to live in the Spirit, then we got to walk in the Spirit. We can't just be keeping the feast days, not setting up the tree and all this, and hating our brother. Or when we come together to rightly divide, we start railing on each other because we don't believe the same way. That's not the way it is. We come together so iron can sharpen iron. We love our neighbor as ourself. That's how we clean ourselves up. You got to love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 26, brother.
Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another.
Anybody who listened to any of those lessons over the past couple of days, it would have been real easy for someone to just go off the handle. You don't know what you're talking about. You're on the way to the fire. I mean, we could have got real crazy this weekend, but we didn't. Because the people that came together are people that are seeking the kingdom of God. They're using proper righteous judgment. You can see a man is over here who's taking the time to put together a lesson. Just because you don't believe that gray area, you receive it with all readiness of mind. You prove all things and you hold fast to that which is good. You abstain from any appearance of evil. You're persuaded one way, you go with that way. I guarantee you, everybody that taught this weekend, has one thing and one thing in common, and that will never change. The shed blood of our Messiah, how to get under it and stay under it. All these other little things, they don't mean much. But all these little other little things require righteous judgment. Righteous judgment according to God's standards. And the first thing you need to do is clean yourself up, and you do that by your walk. Why? Let's go to Romans, the third chapter. Let's go to Romans, the third chapter. We're going to read one verse. Romans 3, and brother, verse 23, 3 and 23, go ahead.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. What is sin? God's definition is transgression of his commandments, breaking of his laws. going against the covenant, which starts with the ten. And we've all sinned, and we've all sinned through ignorance since we've come into being servants of God. Go to Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Proverbs 24. And, brother, we're going to read one verse, verse 16. 24 and 16. We clean ourselves up by the walk, because we've all sinned and come short of his glory. But what do? Proverbs 26, 24 and verse 16. Brother, go ahead.
For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief.
A just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. We've all sinned. We're walking according to our faith because of grace, God's mercy, that he didn't kill us when we sinned. And then we've gotten to a point where we started walking straight. And when we do that, we still fall through ignorance. Righteous man falls seven times, but he gets back up. How do we know we fall seven times? Righteous judgment, sisters and brothers. How do you know you sin? Righteous judgment, sisters and brothers. The Lord has given us judgment. Don't ever let anybody tell you, you can't judge me. Yes, I can, and I will. But I'll do it righteously. I won't do it by hearsay. I won't do it by things I perceive you've said or done. I will do it by the facts, because that's righteous judgment. But here's something the Lord warns us about. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter. Ecclesiastes 7. I feel like it's starting to come down with something here, but we're going to get through this. Ecclesiastes 7. Maybe it's a good thing we're not all in the same room. My whole family is getting the stomach virus. Ecclesiastes 7. And, bro, pick this up in verse 16. The righteous fall seven times, but they get back up. But the Lord warns us about something. Ecclesiastes 7 and 16. Brother, go ahead.
Be not righteous over much. Neither make thyself over wise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?
But the Lord says, be careful how you are with your righteousness. Don't let it turn into false pride. Don't be overly righteous over much. That's false pride. That's ego. He's telling you to watch your heart. Because why should you destroy yourself? Go ahead, brother.
Be not over much wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?
He's telling you, you got to get on that path and walk that narrow path. Go ahead, brother.
It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this gift.
Uh-huh.
Also from this withdraw not thine hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all.
Yes, sir. He that feareth God shall come forth of them all. It is good that thou shouldest take hold of this. Yea, also from this withdraw not thy hand. For he that feareth God shall come forth of them all. What's the whole duty of man? Fear God and keep his commandments. What's the beginning of wisdom? The fear of the Lord. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city.
And wisdom is our strength, sisters and brothers, more than all 10 bodybuilders in the city. Mighty men, great men, strong, healthy, full ox-looking dudes. You know they're strong. Wisdom, sisters and brothers, is what your strength comes from. Your strength comes from wisdom, not physical. Your strength comes from wisdom. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 20. For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
And look at what wisdom tells us. There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Even after you come into the knowledge of the truth and you've been baptized, you're still going to fall short through ignorance. Look at King David. Let him be our example. Look how he fell short. And he was a man after God's own heart. So don't be overly righteous. But God takes care of the righteous, sisters and brothers. Go to Psalm, the 37th chapter. Psalm, the 37th chapter. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. And let's pick it up in verse 23, brother. 37 and 23. Go ahead, bro.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
The steps of a good man are ordered by who? By the Lord. Go ahead, brother.
And he delighteth his way.
Uh-huh.
verse 24. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread.
Didn't we just read where a righteous man falls seven times and gets back up again? And David had it written that he was young and now he's old, yet he has not seen the righteous forsaken nor his offspring begging for bread. Look what the Lord did for David with Solomon. Even when he had to rent the kingdom out of Solomon's hands and split up Israel, he did it after Solomon. He told King David, made a promise that Solomon would be at peace and build his temple, and he kept that promise. That was David's seed. And he certainly wasn't begging for bread, was he? Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verse 26.
Yes, sir.
He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed.
He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Who is this? The righteous. Go ahead, brother.
Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore.
And dwell forevermore. That's eternal life, sisters and brothers. So God takes care of the righteous. So what should we do? Let's go to John, the 7th chapter. John, the 7th chapter. Gospel of John 7. John 7. The Lord takes care of the righteous. John 7, pick it up at verse 22, brother. 7 and 22. Go ahead.
Moses, therefore, gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath?
And the Lord said it was good to do good on the Sabbath day, but they just kept looking at the letter of the law. They didn't even take into consideration the weightier matters, that mercy and righteous judgment. Go ahead, brother.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
So God takes care of the righteous, so he tells us, judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment. What is righteous judgment? He keeps telling us to use it, but I still can't figure it out. Man, I'm scratching my head at this point. What is righteous judgment? Well, let's go check it out. Let's see how Jesus did and will judge. Let's go to John, the 5th chapter. Back it up a little bit. John 5, because Jesus is our main example. He's that prophet like unto Moses, the one that we are required and responsible for either listening to or disobeying. John 5. Brother, pick it up in verse 21, 5 and 21. Go ahead.
For as the Father raises up the dead, and quickeneth them.
And quickeneth them means to make them alive. Go ahead.
Even so, the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man.
Whoa, the Father doesn't judge anybody? The Father is so pure, so holy and righteous, he can't even deal with man. And he don't judge anybody. All judgment's been given to the Son, been given to our Messiah, the Lamb. Go ahead, brother.
But hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
That
all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father.
Yes, sir.
He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him.
He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. There's another place that says all those that confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
But is passed from death unto life. This is talking about eternal life in the kingdom, sisters and brothers. I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's all about the Father. We are trying to please the Father. Jesus himself even told us he was our friend and brother. We're trying to please the Father, not Jesus. Jesus has come and done what he needed to do to give us a shot back at the tree of life. Sisters and brothers, Jesus didn't come to judge the world yet. He came to give us that opportunity to come under his blood so his blood could be that atoning sacrifice for all the sins of the world, so that our Heavenly Father can be reconciled to us. And Jesus is the one that most assuredly is going to do the judging. Did you finish yet, brother?
No.
Go ahead and continue.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life.
Let's continue. Let's go to Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Proverbs, the 24th chapter.
Probably not going through 30.
No, sir. We're going to cut it right there. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Proverbs, the 24th chapter. I'm looking at the time and I want to move forward. Proverbs 24, and we're going to read one verse, verse 12. Proverbs 24 and one verse, verse 12. Go ahead, brother.
If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it?
Doth he not that pondereth the heart consider it? Go ahead. How's that? And he that pondereth the heart. Who's the one that pondereth the heart? That's God. He's the one that considers, does he not? Go ahead, brother.
And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it?
And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? Talking about God, go ahead.
And shall not he render to every man according to his works?
Who's the one that's going to come and judge and render every man according to his works? Christ Jesus, our Messiah. We're going to skip Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter. What that basically says, okay, is to fear God and keep his commandments. That's the whole duty of man, because our Messiah is going to come back and judge every man according to his works, whether it be good or evil. Let's go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. We're going to read one verse. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 27, brother. 16 and 27. Go ahead.
For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works.
He's going to reward every man according to his works. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians 11 and one verse, brother, verse 15. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 15. Go ahead.
Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness.
Talking about Satan's ministers. Go ahead.
Whose end shall be according to their works.
Whose end shall be according to their works. Let's go to Revelation, the 2nd chapter. Revelation, the 2nd chapter. Revelation 2. Revelation 2 and one verse, brother, verse 23, 2 and 23, go ahead.
And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every man, unto every one of you according to your works.
And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Let's look at that great whore that sits on many waters. Let's go to Revelation, the 18th chapter. Revelation 18. Revelation 18. One verse, brother. Verse 6. 18 and 6. Go ahead.
Reward her even as she rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double.
And because she's deceived the whole world, double is her reward. According to what? According to her works. I'm not going to put a name on that whore. We're just going to move on from there. Let's go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. Pick it up in verse 12, brother. 20 and 12. Go ahead.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in those books. According to their works.
And the dead were judged out of those books that were written, the things that were written in the books, according to their works. So the standard is the books, the very books that we have in front of us. Compilation of at least 66, known as the Bible. You want to add the Apocrypha? Add the Apocrypha. You want to add other books? If you've proven them to coincide with Scripture, be my guest. But you're judged according to the things that are written in this book, according to your works. Let's go to John, the 12th chapter, and make that clear. John, the 12th chapter. Gospel of John 12. Brother, let's pick it up in 42. 12 and 42. Gospel of John, the 12th chapter. John 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Hold the horse till I get on. That's how Jeremy used to remember the Gospels in their order. Back in the day when he was a wee little nerd, a shorty.
Yeah.
John 12, Brother, pick it up at verse 42, 12 and 42. Go ahead.
Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him.
Among the chief rulers many even believed on him. Go ahead, brother. Middle of 42.
But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue.
But they loved man more than they loved God. Go ahead, brother.
They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God.
Uh-huh.
Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me.
Okay, he that believes on me doesn't just believe on me, but on him that sent me, talking about our Heavenly Father. Go ahead.
Verse 45. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me.
Uh-huh.
I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness.
Because darkness is walking contrary to the Word of God, and the light is the Word of God. It's your light on your path. It makes your doings and your ways perfect, because God's ways are perfect. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 47.
Yes, sir.
And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world.
Because when Jesus was here the first time, he did not come to judge the world. But make no mistake about it, when he returns, he will. Go ahead, brother.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him.
See, now it's not Jesus that's going to actually do the judging. He's the one that's going to be the one that's going to say, okay, I can see according to something that you're either righteous or wicked. But what's going to do the judging, brother? Go ahead.
The word that I have spoken, the same judge him in the last day.
The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. The words in this book are going to judge you according to your works or according to your actions. Were they righteous according to what the Lord had written? Or were you wicked or lawless according to what the Lord had written? Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 48.
Uh-huh.
He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day.
Uh-huh.
For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak.
And he gave him not only a commandment, what he should say and speak, but then gave him all power to carry out the judgment when he returns. Go ahead, brother.
And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
See, sisters and brothers, there's not going to be any appealing to Jesus when he returns, because he's not judging of his own judgment. He's got orders. And he's a good soldier. He's going to follow out those orders that the Father gave him. He's a good son. He's obedient. He's the Holy One of Israel. He's not the one judging you. It's the Word that's judging you. It's God's standard that's judging you. What he is going to be, he's going to be the enforcer of that word. The word says, Brother Paul, that you've fallen woefully short. Spirit, fire. Next, that's the way it's going to go down, sisters and brothers. Because Jesus is not a respecter of persons. It's not his message. It's not his judgment. It's the Father's. The Father has given it to Jesus. And Jesus can't be a respecter of persons. He's an obedient son, and he's going to do exactly what the Father told him to do. The Word is going to judge these people, and you are going to enforce what the Word says, wicked, without law, or righteous. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Let's go to 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter, the first chapter. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, we're going to read one verse, brother. 1 Peter 1, verse 17. Go ahead.
And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear.
Pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. What's our whole duty? Fear God and keep his commandments. Why should we pass the time of our sojourning here in fear? Aren't we righteous? Aren't we saints? Absolutely, but should we be overly righteous? No, not at all. And that fear, yeah, it's fear that I don't want to go into fire, but the more that is revealed to me and the more that I respond, that fear turns to reverence, sisters and brothers. But here's why we should have that fear. Let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Hebrews 10. And brother, pick it up in verse 30. Hebrews 10 and verse 30. When you get there, go ahead and read.
For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people.
And again, the Lord, our Messiah, shall judge his people. Go ahead.
It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. That's why we need to pass our time of sojourning here in fear, being sober and vigilant, making sure we're staying pleasing in God's sight. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Back to Matthew, the 7th chapter. We started this off in Matthew 7. Let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew 7. Brother, let's pick it up in verse 13. 7 and 13. Go ahead.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Yes, sir.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, or unto life, and few there be that find it.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. A lot of people, they get understanding of the commandments, but they use the wrong spirit. When you got that wrong spirit going, after a while, you can't be stopped. That wrong spirit takes over. Next thing you know, you're standing in front of Messiah. And what do you hear? Be gone, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Lord, I kept the feast days, and I did this, and I did cast out demons in your name, and on and on and on. Damn, but you were the biggest stumbling block in one of the biggest classes that I had created. Be gone, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. We don't want to hear that, sisters and brothers. We do not want to hear that. Go ahead and continue, brother.
Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves.
These are those liars that someone posted on Facebook. How do we know that they're liars bringing us the word of God? We'll be able to judge them by what? Their fruits. Go ahead and continue, brother.
You shall know them by their fruits.
You shall know them by their fruits. Go ahead.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit.
Just like men don't gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. Every corrupt tree bringeth forth corrupt fruit. Go ahead, brother.
A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit.
Go ahead.
Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire.
Remember, our Lord always speaks in parables. He's talking about the lake of fire. He's talking about that second resurrection here. He's talking about that second resurrection, because the first resurrection is nobody's going in the fire. That first resurrection is just for his saints. That second resurrection is where the threat of the fire looms deep. Go ahead, brother.
Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them.
Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them, because you can judge a man by his fruits. Okay, let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. Matthew, the 18th chapter. We're not going to go in depth in this. This could be a lesson in itself. But we're going to touch on this because this involves righteous judgment. Matthew 18, pick it up at verse 15, brother. 18 and 15, go ahead.
Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
So somebody does something that's out of pocket to you. And you see it's out of pocket according to God's commandments because you're using righteous judgment. You approach that brother and you put it on the table with him. And if he hears you and you guys, everything's good when you're done with the meeting, you gain the brother. Go ahead, brother.
But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established.
But now if that brother doesn't hear you, You bring two or three witnesses. Now, these two or three witnesses have to be privy to what went down. These aren't just two or three people that you're bringing that are biased to you. Your buddies, they don't like this other guy or whatever. These have to be righteous people that are privy to the situation that went down. And if you can't find anybody that's privy to the situation that went down, then you bring some righteous brethren that are going to judge righteously according to the word. Go ahead and continue, brother. Verse 17.
And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican.
So you bring witnesses and he doesn't hear? Because you've used righteous judgment, then you're going to tell it unto the church, especially if it's some, if it's a big thing, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You got somebody committed adultery, for instance, and you bring it to them and they don't want to hear it. You bring witnesses, I can marry 16 women if I want to. You bring it unto the church, and that brother gets ostracized from that class. In other words, he's not welcome back there until he repents. But make no mistake about it, if he repents, there's forgiveness given, and everything's forgotten. And that brother is welcome right back into the fold. Let's go to Galatians, the sixth chapter. Galatians, the sixth chapter. Of course, that repentance, sisters and brothers, it's got to be sincere. But then again, can you see truth in the heart? What if the brother sincerely asks for repentance and then falls short again? Sincerely ask for repentance and then fall short again. The Lord says 7 times 70. In other words, as often as there is sincere repentance, there has to be sincere forgiveness. Galatians, the sixth chapter. Let's pick it up at verse 1, brother. 6 and 1. Go ahead.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted.
How do you know if somebody's overtaken in a fault, sisters and brothers? Righteous judgment. Judging according to God's standards. According to the standards that our Messiah is going to judge with. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ.
Uh-huh.
For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
That's that watching not to be overly righteous over much. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. But let every man prove his own work.
But let every man prove his own work. Go ahead.
If then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
Uh-huh.
For every man shall bear his own burden.
Doesn't that take putting that mirror up in front of you, sisters and brothers? Yeah, pick up that mirror, wipe it off a little bit, put it up in front. Yeah, I know it's not pretty. Trust me. Every time I put together a lesson, the Lord beats the snot out of me. Every single time. You know what happens when I'm spending a lot of time on a lesson? I get a lot of beatings. But it's to keep us straight, sisters and brothers. Lessons like this, you put that mirror up in front of yourself, you're going to see where you're falling short. We do a lesson on tail bearing. We don't do the lesson to point fingers at everybody around us. We do the lesson to put that mirror up to see if that's where you're falling short. Are you becoming a tail bearer? Are you sowing discord? Are you using unrighteous judgment? That's what that mirror's all about, to keep us straight. Go ahead and continue, brother.
But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another.
Uh-huh.
For every man shall bear his own burden.
Verse 6, go ahead.
Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
Go ahead, brother.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Them secret places that the Lord talked about with the Pharisees and the scribes, cleaning the inside of the cup, so the inside might be just as clean as the outside appears to be. That's what it's talking about, sisters and brothers. About taking care of the things in the secret places. Because what you sow is what you're going to reap. It's not what you sow out to make yourself a spectacle, to stand out there like the Pharisees when they're praying and they got the long robes on and they're making a spectacle out of themselves. It's what you sow in the secret places, and that's what you're going to reap out in the open, or the Lord's going to reward you in front of everybody. Go ahead, brother.
For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not.
And we will reap in due season at the return of our Messiah, if we faint not, or if we endure until the end. That doesn't mean you're not going to slip and stumble a little bit. That doesn't mean your faith might not waver from time to time. I don't always walk around praising God with my cup overflowing. Sometimes I walk around praising God, wondering why I don't have nothing in the bottom of it. But that's a wavering of the faith in a sense where there's like times of depression that come along with your walk, where things aren't going, where you're spiritually, you're not just completely 100% just, oh, praise God. Yeah, you're human. You're going to have these emotions going to smack you around a little bit. But the Lord says to lead and guard that heart when that starts happening. Tell us where you're at and continue, brother.
Verse 7.
Yes, sir.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith.
Let us do good unto all men, but especially unto them that be of the household of faith. You reap what you sow, sisters and brothers. Let's get an example of reaping what you've sown. Let's go to Genesis, the 17th chapter. Genesis 17. Genesis 17, and I'm going to read one verse. Well, actually, our brother's going to read it. Genesis 17, and we don't have very much left at all. We're almost there. 17 and verse 1, brother. When you get there, go ahead and read.
17 and 1.
Yes, sir.
And when Abraham was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So Abraham just said, okay. And he just did whatever it was that he had to do, and he was deemed perfect in the eyes of God? No. Let's go to Genesis, the 26th chapter. Genesis 26. Genesis 26, we're going to pick it up in verse 2, brother. 26 and 2, go ahead.
And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of.
Uh-huh.
So turn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee, and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father.
And the Lord talked to Isaac, said, I'm going to perform the oath that I swore unto Abraham your father. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 4. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed.
Why is the Lord going to do this with Isaac? Go ahead.
Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and commandments, my statutes, and my laws.
How did Abraham do that? The Lord told him, walk before me and be thou perfect, and then I'm going to make this covenant with you. And it says that Abraham obeyed his voice, kept his charge, his commandments, his statutes, and his laws. Did he not have to put a mirror up in front of himself to see how he was walking so he could repent from the way he was walking and be perfect before God by keeping all his commandments and statutes and laws? Absolutely. He had to check himself. Am I walking now perfect? No. What do I need to do to walk perfect? Using righteous judgment, I'm not walking perfect. The standard I'm using is God's commandments. Well, I need to fall into line. And when he did that, because of using righteous judgment to check himself, the covenant got carried through Isaac and into Jacob, and then the nation of Israel was created. Let's continue. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. Back to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. And, brother, let's pick this up at verse 6. 5 and 6. Go ahead.
Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump?
Don't you know a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Go ahead, brother.
Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sanctified.
How do you purge out the old leaven, sisters and brothers? You stick that mirror up in front of your face, and you look at them standards. Am I walking according to the commandments of God, or am I woefully falling short in some area? Righteous judgment. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 8. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
And to get to that point where you're keeping it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth because you're examining yourself before you take that Passover, you're using righteous judgment. Go ahead, brother.
I wrote to you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. Yet not all together with the fornicators of this world.
So now the Lord, when he's saying not to company with fornicators, he's not talking about those that are still in the world, because those are the ones we're supposed to be alive to. But who's he talking about? Go ahead.
Or the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world.
And we can't come out of this world. We got to deal with those that are in the world, because those are the ones we're trying to bring to Christ. Go ahead.
But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or a covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat.
And he says, with such as one that is called a brother, that is wicked or lawless or a sinner. Of course, we've already read it. We've got that Matthew 18. We approach him. But what makes us call one of these brothers or sisters a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner? Righteous judgment according to God's standards. Go ahead, brother.
For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within?
And the Lord is asking, don't you judge those within your congregation? Absolutely. The days of a congregation saying, oh, brother, you can't do that. Yeah, but what about you? You did this. And it just gets swept under the rug until you break your ankle coming through the front door. Those days are over, sisters and brothers, for those that want to earn a shot at the kingdom of God. If you're not serious about your walk, then by all means, continue in your folly if you're being full of folly. But sisters and brothers, we've been given the opportunity to put mirrors in front of our faces because God has given us the standard. He's taken that cloak away from us. If we really want to be pleasing in God's eyes, it starts with righteous judgment with us. But then it carries over to the congregation, sisters and brothers. And how are we supposed to judge the congregation? Just like Jesus will. According to those standards. Let's go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians 5.
You want me to finish that?
You know what? No, I'm sorry. Go ahead and finish that, brother.
But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Because you have righteous judgment. You have righteous judgment. Now let's go to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I always jump ahead of myself when I get too excited. I always get too excited. That's why I'm always jumping ahead of myself. Ephesians 5 and verse 11, brother. One verse. Go ahead.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, rather reprove them.
But rather reprove them. So you got people in your congregation that are being wicked. You reprove them. And what happens if they hear you? You've gained a brother or a sister. And then all is forgiven. And it's one big happy congregation again until the next time Satan tries to creep in. The next season when he tries to come in against the congregation somehow. Because he's always going to be there, sisters and brothers. He's over there trying to take us with. May as well just get used to putting on that whole armor of God. Let's go to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. And we have one more place after this. Excuse me. 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 5. 1 John 1 and 5, brother. Go ahead.
This is the message which we have heard of him and declared unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all.
God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. And he's righteous, and he's incapable of sin. Go ahead, brother.
Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth.
If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. How do we know whether or not we have fellowship with him? How do we know if we're walking in darkness? Those standards and that righteous judgment. Last place, 1 Peter, the fourth chapter, and then we're going to open it up to comments and questions. I know there's a ton of scriptures I didn't touch on because it's only an hour lesson. But this is the last place. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. Go ahead.
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And God has told us how to use that righteous judgment because we have an example, our Messiah. So we judge righteously without respect to our persons, and we do it according to God's standards, starting with those Ten Commandments, and then it forks off into all those other roads that lead down to the cleanliness, to the dietary law. Especially to the way we're supposed to treat each other. So, sisters and brothers, judgment, man's and God's, and I really, with all my heart, mean this, I appreciate this opportunity to rightly divide God's word, and I hope somebody got something from these scriptures.
Amen.
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 snot? Did he say snot out of me? He said the Lord whooped the snot out of me.
I got Kleenex boxes to prove it.
Hey, I know that feeling, man. I know that feeling. People, you know, I know brothers and sisters, man, you know, they be like, you know, they look and they hear us read these books and the pages and everything, but they don't know that the Word of God, well, I ain't going to say they don't know, but they don't know how it affects us because the Word of God is two-edged sword. So every time you read it, man, you're going to be the first one to get cut. So you think that we reading a book for you to get cut? No, we bleeding all over the place. First, you're getting a bandaged soul, you know. Ooh, brother, thank you for that one. Thank you for that one, man. If I can, I just want to. Great job, Jeremy. That was, man.
Great God.
Big up. Way to be in there. One script, Isaiah 33:14, it says, the sinners in Zion are afraid, fearfulness has surprised the hypocrite. Who among us shall dwell in devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell in everlasting burning? So you better judge yourself first. You better judge what you're doing first. You better judge who you are first. You better judge what, before you start talking about what somebody else is, the book said, who among us? Like your brother said, judgment is going to start in the house of God, not the world, the house of God. So great precept, great precept. Any questions or comments?
Yes.
Amen.
I would like to ask a question now. I saw a video where the pastor put the man out of the church because he kept dressing like a woman. So I wanted to know, was that righteous judgment when he did that?
Not privy to the situation, but if he fits the protocol the right way, if he reproved him the right way, and if the man didn't hear the reproof and he went and brought a couple of brothers with him, those witnesses, and the man didn't hear that, and the Lord says not to dress like an effeminate, then that pastor was within his right to do that. But again, it had to be done the right way.
Right.
I just saw the video. I don't know. They just saying you. They said what you said, that he kept telling him, but then he just kept coming dressed like that. So they say that he put him out. And I was just wondering, was that like righteous judgment to put him out?
It sounds like it to me.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, I got to say, that's a sticky situation. That 501c3 is a sticky situation. You get a sodomite want to dress like a woman in your camp, and you under that 501c3, you can find yourself in a heap of trouble.
You could.
Yeah. You can find
yourself.
That's
why I'm no longer a 501c3.
That's true, because we vowed to fight it, you know, but they were telling my pastor that if someone came into the congregation and if they were the same sex, that he would have to do it or he going to jail.
Right.
I hope that book's
exactly
good in prison.
And my pastor said he's going to jail.
I'm going too. I hope that food's good. And I hope the Lord put his heads about me like he did Joseph. That's all I can say about that one.
You know, when you do that 501c3, you put yourself in that kind of, you put yourself in that situation that you could be,
you do,
that you will find yourself in jail. If you're not under the 501c3, you freedom of speech 24/7.
That's why I dropped the 501c3.
We're not under the 501c3, but once that ruling came down, you know, the church went to work and start, you know, coming up with, you know what I mean, viable, you know, options. Like, you know what I mean, you got to be a member, you know what I mean? We start making up, you know what I mean, and try and prevent it.
Yeah. They trying to spirit nowadays. So, yeah. Paul, did you say you dropped your 501c3?
I did. I let it expire and never renewed it. And then what we did was we just changed the name of the church to what we did at Bible Christians, and I never went back after it. I just picked fellowship of the Spirit back up, and I'm just running with it. I refuse to go back under 501c3.
Well, why do y'all say that? Because the Bible says, render unto Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and render unto God the things that belong to God. You cannot tax the church. They need to tax the church back then. So how are you going to tax the church now?
They want to tax me, they can tax me. That's the only reason for a 501c3, basically, is to be taxed.
We don't pay any tax. You don't get taxed. And even if you don't have a 501c3, you don't get taxed. I mean, you know what I mean? Our church get a tax bill for $9, to whereas I would have to pay $1,000.
Right. I just choose not to have it any longer. I said, I just choose not to have it any longer. In fact, they sent me forms and everything to renew it. I just chose not to.
Well, yeah, after 3 consecutive years, if you don't file, you'll lose it.
You got to be careful with that. Right now, with this new sodomite sort of movement going on, it's really not happening. You know, they pushing the envelope, so got to be careful with that. That's a great question, Chris. That's a great question. You know, I have to agree with the pastor about, you know, having a sodomite that's a practicing, dressing sodomite in a church. That's really out there, you know, let alone having a sodomite. You know, it's one thing, you know, somebody trying to repent from that lifestyle, because we all have to repent. You know, we all came from some sin or another. And that's just happened to be one of them. Even Paul said, even you was once effeminate. You know, so don't be too big on judging yourself. He said some of you were fornicators, some of you were, you know, all extortioners and effeminate. Some of you was all sorts of things. So we can't get big headed on that, because you still, if you're gonna be that way with a sodomite, you gotta be that way with an adulterer.
Amen.
You know, amen.
But once again, Paul, right? You can't have that unrighteous judgment, right?
Right. There's a book that I used to read that had a passage in it that said the wrongdoings of others, fancied or real, has the power to actually kill. That fancy stuff is the stuff we need to guard against. We need to make sure we get facts, not hearsay. Like that dude Peterson went to jail on hearsay for killing his second or third wife, whatever, the one with the Lacey Peterson. They still haven't found her. He went to prison on hearsay. That's not righteous. As saints, we can't do that. Oh, I heard about so-and-so. Did you see him? Did they tell you they did it? Unless you know for a fact, it shouldn't even concern you.
Right. Amen. Amen. You and I, yeah, I agree with that. You know, I look at a lot of this stuff in the world, and I look at the magazine covers in the world, and I try to ignore it, man, because it's all the snares.
Yeah.
It's all snares. It's all to put you in snares, to have you judging somebody, looking at somebody one way when you shouldn't be. You don't know what that person really going through. Just this is all hearsay. So it's all snares. We got to be careful.
Amen.
So, you know, everything, these, this entertainment world, that's all. And once again, entertainment only means it be distracted. From what? Righteous judgment. So, you know, I can't say enough about the lesson is perfect, man. Come on.
Praise
God. Infallible. You can't sit up here and talk about, you know, you a righteous judgment, man, and then we're gonna be false balances, man. The God of Israel, he said a false balance is an abomination. A false balance is a curse. It's damnation, you know, so we gotta judge righteously, man. So any more questions or comments for our brother Paul? No? Hey, well, job well done, Israel. What can I say? Any closing comments?
Not from me. Just grace and peace in Jesus' name, sisters and brothers. Endure till the next Sabbath. Stay in prayer constant. Guard your hearts.
In Jesus' name. And I want to say once again, thank you for participating in the Bible calendar seminar the weekend, man. It was awesome. Your brother is tired.
Yeah.
Rhea said, man, your eyes is red. So what do you do? But I enjoyed every minute of it, y'all. I got to tell you. And it was enlightening. And to hear, you know, the brothers and sisters, how they, you know, have come out with great questions. You know, and things like that, and bring up great points and topics and everything, you know, so that we can be clear on these things. So all this is excellent. And once again, brother, great precept, great lesson.
Praise God.
So with
brother,
that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify somebody. We want to be back here Tuesday for the Philadelphia Assembly with Bob Farr. We don't know exactly where this precept is going to be yet. But we understand that it will be one of those doozies. So you want to be back for that. So with that being said, we want to thank everybody for their time. We hope we edify someone. Great job, Jeremy. Great job, Brother Paul. And as we say here at the Sound of the Living Waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your book.
Amen.
Read your Bibles, people.
Time
to point it out.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.